Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KCBS, in partnership with UCSF Health, presents As Prescribed, a weekly conversation with leading medical experts from UCSF Medical Center and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals.
Hello and welcome to As Prescribed. I'm Kathy Novak. This week, the United States was added to the World Health Organization's list of countries with circulating vaccine-derived poliovirus. This after New York State declared a state of emergency over the growing polio concerns there. So what does this all mean, and why are we once again talking about a disease which had been contained in most places around the world? Here to help make some sense of this is Dr. Peter Chin Hong, professor at the UCSF School of Medicine, specializing in infectious diseases. Dr. Chin Hong, welcome back to As Prescribed.
My pleasure, Kathy. Thanks for having me on.
So, Doctor, what does this WHO declaration mean?
The WHO declaration means that for people coming into a country like the United States, like other countries in the world where there's circulating virus, particularly polio, you kind of have to make sure you're up to date on your vaccines, that you have been immunized, and if you are at high risk, that you've gotten boosted.
Let's talk more then about the vaccines you mentioned and clarify the significance of the fact that these words vaccine derived are in this declaration. I can see how having that phrase in there could be of concern, maybe confusing to people who are already a bit vaccine hesitant. So can you explain that?
Yeah, so there are basically two flavors of the polio vaccine, one that's weakened and one that's killed. And in the United States, we've pretty much emphasized the killed version, and we haven't used the weakened version since 2000. But in many parts of the world, the killed version is used because it's a really, really effective vaccine, because it passes that in the stool and it can immunize other members of the community. It can come back to life almost like Walking Dead when it comes in the community where there's not enough vaccination, and it can, what scientists call, revert to this sort of like mean polio self, which can cause disease. It doesn't happen very often, but there may be about 300 or 400 cases around the world every year where people are getting polio from a weakened virus that's come back to life, so to speak.
And so is what I'm hearing there that the reason that we are talking about it again here in the United States is because the levels of vaccination in these communities are not high enough for polio?
Exactly. And polio exploited the vulnerability of certain micro communities that didn't have enough vaccination. So when you look on the surface, it looks amazing. Like United States, people going to kindergarten, more than 90% immunized against polio. But when you look in micro communities, people who are homeschooled because they didn't want to deal with the school rules, California has one of the strictest rules for immunization of all childhood diseases, including polio, because of a Disneyland outbreak and California outbreak that happened in 2015. But you can imagine that in Rockland County, for example, in New York, with 60% immunization rate in kids and in some of the surrounding areas, this polio can take advantage of that, even though it's weakened, by reverting to what we call wild type. So it's exploiting these micro communities.
Okay, so you've made the distinction there between Rockland County and New York State and here in California. Overall, how concerned are you that we're talking about this at all again in the United States? And how concerned are you about the possibility of this becoming an issue here in California?
I'm not very concerned, but I'm mildly concerned. And I'll tell you why I'm mildly concerned. First of all, we haven't seen any cases yet in California, but there's a lot of transportation between California and New York. And about 90%, or if not more, of people who have polio are completely asymptomatic and they can shed it in their stool. So I think that's the reason why I'm concerned. And even though our kindergarten numbers look really good, we haven't had great up-to-date data until before the pandemic to now. And we only represent people who are going to school. So if you're not going to school, if you're staying at home because you didn't want to deal with those rules, those vaccination rates are not reportable and they're much likely to be lower. So what it means is that polio can, again, coming from an asymptomatic person, minding their own business, traveling from New York, come to California if it already hasn't, set up shop in a community. In most cases, more than 80% immunity, you have really herd immunity, but in these microclimates can really lead to disease transmission.
And if it leads to disease transmission, you're talking about asymptomatic people spreading it, but you know, if it's not asymptomatic, it can be pretty devastating, right? And no cure for polio still.
Exactly. That's the thing about polio. There's no cure. So once you get it, once you get the bad consequences of polio, you know, you can't really do a lot, unfortunately. So when you acquire infection, again, about 90% of people have no symptoms. And maybe about 10% of people will have what looks to be like flu-like symptoms after about a week or 2 weeks. Nausea, vomiting, you know, fever, headache, muscle aches. And about maybe, you know, one in 200 people will go on to develop what's the most insidious and potentially deadly causes of polio, which is paralysis, brain disease, muscle weakness, because it affects the nerves that control lots of different kinds of muscles, and most fatally, muscles that can control breathing. But even one case of polio in a child who's paralyzed for life really gives us time for pause, because that child is our future.
Are you concerned that the COVID-related anti-vaccination narrative has opened the door for general vaccine hesitancy and the reemergence of diseases like polio?
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of evidence that vaccine hesitancy, vaccine misinformation is infectious. It's just like a disease. One person hears it, they give it to another person, and then so on and so on. And there's a lot of concern that the hesitancy regarding polio vaccinations would have come from the hesitancy that parents are already having for COVID vaccines in their kids. So we've seen a trend over the years that people are generally becoming, as a community, more and more hesitant about vaccines.
So if we leave it then, what is your message to the community as we are talking about polio here again today?
I think the most important thing and the lowest hanging fruit is to really immunize our kids. And polio is not just about polio. It's a parable for lots of other childhood diseases that we take for granted that we've controlled. We don't look around and see a lot of measles or polio. And certainly we've eradicated smallpox for the large part. So, you know, for these things to come back is really, really tragic after all of the progress we've made in science. The number one thing you do is make sure your kids are vaccinated. The number two thing you can do is to make sure you've been vaccinated. And if you don't know, talk to your clinician.
All right, Dr. Chin Hong, thank you as always for sharing your insights with us.
Thanks so much, Kathy.
Dr. Peter Chin Hong is professor at the UCSF School of Medicine, specializing in infectious diseases. And I'm Kathy Novak. Thanks so much for tuning into As Prescribed.
As Prescribed, every Thursday at 1:30, right here on the Bay Area's news station, All News 106.9 at AM 740 KCBS, and streaming on the Odyssey app. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Oh, oh.
Protect your
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.